Gary Newman. The Kronos Quartet performs our theme music. Gavin Dahl is AR station liaison. Joe Ritchie is our general manager and editor. I'm David Barsamian. Thank you for listening.
Good morning. You're tuned to KBOO Portland. Coming up next, it's Air Cascadia, headlines commentary with Chris Andre. Stay tuned at 10:15 for Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. And at 11 o'clock on stage and studio, I've got D-May Roberts, your host, speaking with Pollo Catalani of the Colored Pencils Art and Culture Council. And at 11:30, it's Art Focus with host Joseph Galavan interviewing visual artist Nicola Lopez. Thanks for listening to KBOO. Thanks for being a member, if you are one. And if you're not, you can go to kboo.fm and rectify that situation. We're going to listen to one message, and then we'll go right to Air Cascadia.
Tune in Wednesday, August 13th at 2 p.m., when KBOO's Rita Rega will be talking to impresario George Ween, the creator of the Newport Jazz Festival. Listen to what this eyewitness to jazz history has to say about his festival and the film Jazz on a Summer's Day, playing Thursday, August 14th at the Clinton Street Theater. Again, that's George Ween, interviewed by KBOO's Rita Rega, Wednesday, August 13th at 2 p.m., here at your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
In Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, August 12th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. We're going to try to continue our conversation that we started yesterday with Mazen Khamsia of the International Middle East Media Center, which many of you out there have been relying on to catch up on the latest tweets coming out of that region and follow the actual ground truth thread through this extraordinary massacre, likes of which we certainly don't associate with. The whole concept of civilization is pretty much being gunned down, shot in the back, however you want to phrase it in recent decades. But this is really over the edge. First, however, a few headlines. Oregon Treasurer Ted Wheeler has been eyeing a run for governor for 4 years now, but it turns out that he's not going to be able to do it right now from his current position in state government. Attorney General Ellen Rosenblum released her legal opinion yesterday, concluding that Wheeler won't be able to run for re-election in 2016 under the wording of the state's term limits. Wheeler says that he would abide by her opinion. Well, what else is he going to do, right? Ted is from a wealthy timber baron background, FYI, so he understands how all of this works. You would think that coming from a wealthy timber baron background, he would be able to bend the laws or even dust them aside at a whim. That's how wealthy timber barons got to be that way. And the Oregon Department of Agriculture has come up with this. Lab tests. yes, lab tests found no evidence of pesticides in thousands of dead honeybees from Clackamas County. Department spokesman Bruce Hukani. Take a look at his resume. It's always fun reading. Says that the investigation was prompted by reports in June from poor beekeepers of suspected pesticides. Okay, they say lab tests. It's impossible to test for the pesticides that are floating around out there. Furthermore, the tests are designed to test to search for specific pesticides. By the time this stuff actually gets into animals, into the flora and fauna of the region, animals, plants, what have you, by the time it actually gets there and kills them, it's changed into something else. Think about it. It meets up with other chemicals. They get along well. They go home with each other. And they also, these chemicals are subject to all kinds of different microwave frequencies that are zipping around in the air. Of course, it's not going to be the same. Of course, the lab tests aren't going to find any pesticides because they're looking for the wrong thing. You cannot test for the millions and millions and millions of combinations, recombinations that these things become at the point where they actually kill bees or, for that matter, people. Think about it a little bit. We listened today to the USA reporting that U.S. airstrikes in northern Iraq, which continued throughout the weekend with an attack on a convoy of vehicles operated by Islamic militants, could continue indefinitely. This is going to be a long one, to protect refugees and the Kurdish city of Erbil. However, blunting the momentum of fighters was the group, the Islamic State in Iraq or ISIS, USA Today's source says that would require special operators on the ground. And how? Special operators on the ground. I think we know where this is going. Well, now we have Mazen Khamsia back joining us today to continue the conversation. I am very, very grateful to you for taking the time. And having your voice on the air means a great deal to us. Good morning, Mazen. Thanks for being back with us today.
Good morning. Thank you very much, Chris, for having me on your show.
Well, I just want to turn this over to you. I want to hear I know that the International Middle East Media Center has been doing an extraordinary job of covering all of this and getting other voices on the air, which otherwise might be silenced. Young people, tweets from all kinds of people everywhere or in your region. Can you tell us, the International Middle East Media Center itself is under pretty much constant attack. Can you tell us what it's like to be doing what you're doing virtually under electronic siege?
Well, this is expected. We live in a colonial struggle. We, the Palestinians, the native people of this country, there are 12 million of us, 7 million are refugees or displaced people. So more than two-thirds of us are refugees. This didn't happen by accident, and the assault on us and our connections to this land and so on didn't start yesterday or a few weeks ago when they attacked Gaza again. This has been ongoing for decades now, since the foundation of this Jewish state of Israel on top of Palestine. So the relentless attacks are expected, and it's as expected as, let's say, white European settlers' conflict with the Native Americans. There may be arrests in it, there may be treaties signed, but eventually all of this means nothing as the march of colonialism continues, in this case spreading of Jewish Zionist colonies on Palestinian land continues unabated, and the attack on the Palestinian natives, of course, continues. And so it is very hard for me to describe it in any, you know, any less stark terms than to say that there is a slow case of genocide going on, a slow genocide of the Palestinian people. Over 120,000 Palestinians have been killed in the last 7 decades, basically. And now in Gaza alone, 12,000 people were killed or injured in the last month alone, 2,000 killed, 460 children killed. So when we talk about the siege, electronic siege, that's nothing compared to the other kind of attacks on us.
Electronic siege
in the media issues are, of course, important because I don't want our stories to go out. I want to keep the mythology of Israel defending itself.
The fact that you're still there and reporting and doing what the International Middle East Media Center does on a daily basis to me is just extraordinary. One story which has not been reported at all, pretty much in the media here, is that apparently Netanyahu has announced that to punish the Palestinian people, there's going to be more settlements built. Is it while they're destroying Gaza, they're destroying everything? The olive groves, everything that the Palestinians and Gazans hold dear, they're building more settlements. And no one has stepped in to stop this. Why isn't the international community? I find this infuriating and shocking, but the international community doesn't seem to be able to stop the building of these settlements. What would it take to get this to end?
Well, I mean, like the, let's say, the apartheid system in South Africa kept going on for 130 years, basically, and people asked the same question, but what it took then is exactly what it would take here, is continuing building of resistance forces on the ground in parallel with doing resistance by other means, like, for example, by boycotts, divestment, sanctions, by media work, by writing, by lobbying, all the normal things that people do to achieve the right things. How did we in the United States get civil liberties, for example, or civil rights? How did we get the woman right to vote, which was only in the 1920s the woman had the right to vote? So obviously, these things do not happen as a gift to us. They happen because people demand them and they get them.
No one in power ever gave up power voluntarily. And in the U.S., if the U.S. suddenly stopped funding Israel and stopped providing this extraordinary state-of-the-art killing machines, if that were suddenly stopped, what would the effect be? This is about the only thing, aside from the boycott, divest, and sanctions, that plus stopping the funding, what effect would that have immediately?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the United States is the biggest enabler of Israel to continue on its rampage, to continue on its ethnic cleansing and all of this. So clearly, if the U.S. would stop this kind of attack, support of the aggressor in this case, clearly, I think it would be a huge difference and would accelerate the inevitable, which is the demise of this last of the apartheid racist regimes that are out here.
Thank you so much for that, Mazen. We're flat out of time. I'm very grateful to you. Having your voice on the air, we're honored to have you on. And I am grateful to you also for speaking truthfully about what is actually going on, calling Zionism when you see it. It is genocide. That is what's going on. These are crimes against humanity. There is simply no other way of stating it. Meanwhile, we're out of time now. This has been Air Cascadia for Tuesday, August 12th, 2014. Tammy Dean engineered the show. Thanks for that, Tammy. Kathleen Stevenson's a KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. Just before we go out, I just want to say Ferguson, the Ferguson shooting in St. Louis County, that we can stop talking about the police. Now let's talk about the people in the community and the man who is dead. That's what we should be talking about. Those are the people who are of great concern and importance here. The police are nothing. They should be dust beneath our feet. Again, thanks for listening. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Stay tuned.
On Flashpoints, we talk with an alderman in St. Louis County, Missouri, about protests following the recent killing of yet another young black man by police in this country, namely 18-year-old Michael Brown. Next, we ask the question, did the U.S. government really have to drop the second atomic bomb on Nagasaki 69 years ago? Finally, we go to London, England to talk about massive protests over the weekend supporting the Palestinian people and condemning Israel for Operation Protective Edge in Gaza. I'm Kevin Pina, filling in for Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. And now we turn our attention to St. Louis County in Missouri, to a neighborhood called Ferguson, where there was a recent shooting of an 18-year-old young black man by the police there. Of course, for a lot of people, this resonates with what happened to Trayvon Martin. But here locally, we've also had examples of young black men gunned down by police forces. I'm thinking of Alan Bluford in particular. Now joining us via telephone from St. Louis, Missouri, is Alderman Antonio